Before we come to our reading from John, I want to back up a moment. This is the second week in a row we have had a reading introducing John the Baptist. And I want to talk about just who he was. And to start, I will say that John the Baptist was not a Southern American national cooperative reform nor a free will Baptist. Now that we have a whole family of churches calling themselves Baptist, it might be easier to translate his name an older way as John the Baptizer. He is a significant figure in the early parts of all four Gospels. Mark's Gospel, from which we read last week, is generally considered the oldest of the four, and it begins with a description of John. From Mark 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Luke's gospel adds a story about John's parents and his conception. It's a story that echoes the birth of Isaac in Genesis. Although we don't know if Elizabeth was quite as old as Sarah, unfortunately for Zechariah, John's father, he, unlike Abraham, did not believe the angel who told him Elizabeth would bear a child, and so Zechariah was rendered mute for the duration of the pregnancy. I expect there are a few mothers here today who might wish their husbands had been rendered mute for the duration of a pregnancy. Another significant addition in Luke's gospel is the fact that Mary and Elizabeth, the mothers of Jesus and John, were themselves cousins. Today, we have the introduction of John the Baptizer in the Gospel of John the Evangelist. From John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. In Bible study this Tuesday, we talked a little bit about how John the Baptist might appear to us today. I thought about street preachers. I don't know how many of you have had encounters with them. They are typically in larger cities. They were very common when I lived in Belfast, and they came to be there to be known as the turn and burn preachers. They probably should have been turn or burn, because they were presenting these as an option, but the people of Belfast saw it all as one and the same. We talked about others who have thought about homeless people in larger cities, those perhaps holding signs warning the end is nigh. Or maybe they're a little bit more cleaned up, and we are thinking just about the conspiracy theorists who are perhaps a little better dressed than John was, wearing his camel hair and leather belt, and likely better fed than he with his diet of locusts and honey. All of these we came up with were more urban images, and I wondered what it might be here in Hampshire County in West Virginia, and the image in my head was of the doomsday prepper who lives back down the holler. The people who come here to homestead and build their bunkers and leave the world behind. But that's not an accurate image of John either, because while these doomsday preppers are warning about the end of the world, they are going to prepare themselves and leave the rest of us behind, whereas John went in the wilderness not to run away, not to avoid the world, but to call us to change the world. He makes me think of an old YouTube video that Catherine brought to my attention a while ago, and I thought at the time, that is going to be good for a sermon, but I've sat on it for a while. This is a video about leadership that was shot during a concert in a park. And the somewhat shaky camera is focused on one person dancing wildly on the hillside. Talks about the importance for a leader of being willing to be ridiculed, of being willing to be criticized. And I will say that this one dancing person is not looking pretty. But then someone else gets up and joins him, and this first dancing person, this leader, jumps and hugs the person who has come to start to dance, and now they are dancing together. The video describes this person as the first follower, and the first follower is essential, because without the first follower, you don't have a leader. You just have a lone nut dancing in a field. John the Baptist is that first follower for Jesus. John the Baptist is the one who, okay, yes, he is a little bit older, and yes, he started his ministry sooner, but he came, as he says, not to be the light, but to point us to the light. I've thought a lot about that. There are often those in the church who say that we should strive to be Christ-like as Christians. And I suppose, yes, we should try to model Jesus, but I sometimes wonder if that might not be aiming a little bit too high, if we might not be thinking a bit too much of ourselves. When we set that as the bar, you're hearing now why I want to call him John the Baptizer more than John the Baptist, as this Presbyterian pastor is not about to tell a congregation to all go and be Baptists. But we can be baptizers. We can be followers of Christ. We already do many things that are like John the Baptist. For one, we baptize with water. We are not Jesus baptizing with the Holy Spirit, nor are we like Jesus baptizing with fire, and that's probably a very good thing. I note we have even moved to electric candles to reduce the risk of accidentally burning down this building. I thought about it too as Lisa spoke today, talking about how we do not see God, but we can see the effects. We can see the bag in the wind, even if we do not see the wind itself, and thought we do not either see the light, but we see what the light illuminates. I worry sometimes that at moments in history of the church has tried to declare itself to be the light. And I think it is a good act of humility for ourselves to remember that we are not the light. We don't see the light. We see what the light illumines, and we can, we hope, point others to the light to help them to see the things that they might rather not see, to see the image of God in the people in whom we would rather not see it, or whom we would simply rather not see. Perhaps people like John the Baptist in camel hair eating locusts and honey. As the church, we are called to share the good news. We are called to proclaim and spread the good news. And at times that can mean being good news for people. But it is good to remember that we are not that good news itself, but that we proclaim it in word and in action. A few weeks ago, those of you who were here heard me talking about my fears of the Advent season, my concerns about Christmas decorations, even as I was that week wearing reindeer socks. I only have one pair. I'm not wearing them again today. They'll come back. I talked about my fear that the lights we put up in our windows, on our Christmas trees, on displays along streets and in parks, while beautiful, may only serve to distract us from the darkness in our own lives instead of illuminating the ways that we can be better, instead of shining a light on the path toward Christ. I have that question today for each of you as individuals as well. We are not the light, but are we pointing to the light? Last Saturday, we packed 250 boxes of food. Sorry, 230 boxes of food. I scared Kathy twice with that number, 250. Once as a Target and once just now, and she's wondering, I didn't think we did that much. We did not. We packed 230 boxes of food for hungry people in Hampshire County. That is an act of spreading the light. We have on occasion, invited others into this building, and each time we do, that is an act of spreading the light. I think that there are more ways that each of us can spread the light in the world around us, and so today I end on the challenge. Not only this Christmas and Advent season, but as we move further and throughout the year and our lives to come. How are we witnesses to the light? How are we sharing the good news of Jesus Christ?